We're going to do part four now, which is a family in action. And how does it work? And of course, since this is the feast of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, it's that family that we're going to be looking at. When the Magi had departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Rise, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and stay there until I tell you." Now, it's amazing how many times Joseph is led by a dream. The most amazing part of it is the directness of the direction. And we're going to see that that characterizes his life. He gets direction from the Lord. He prays. Remember the story I just told you about my friend Jim, who prayed to the Lord, "What am I going to do with this daughter? I got 9 others I got to worry about too." And he said, the Lord said, "Ask her what she wants." He would have never thought of that. But you see, it opened up a whole relationship. And of course, they tolerated the drums, but it did open up a whole new relationship. And I know that girl now, oh my gosh, that girl's 40 now, with a lovely family of her own. You see, it says, so when the Magi, the angel of the Lord, come and stay there until I tell you, Herod is going to search for the child to destroy him. Now, as you know, this text is used also for the holy innocents. Huh? There are so many overtones of Moses in this Matthean text. You know, he goes down into Egypt, he comes back. He's threatened with it. You know, the angel says to Moses, "You can go back now. The one seeking your life is dead." And the angel tells Joseph, "You can go home now. The one seeking your life," you know. There's no doubt that Matthew is picking his vocabulary so that we'll see that Jesus is the prophet promised in Deuteronomy 18. "A prophet like me," Moses says. Here he is. You see? That's the thrill. And when you mention those things to the people, a lot of them are not reading the Bible, but it thrills them to see that the thing holds together. It's not a fairy tale. And the respect for the Old Testament, which is part of our Bible. Now that, I must say in passing, there was a German influence of a certain number of Germans who were anti-Semitic. And so the Old Testament is an interesting historical book, but it's not the Word of God. And it's ruined. There was a thing called the Gesellschaft, the organization, the society, for the elimination of Jewish influence in the religion of the Germans. Can you imagine? And this is, if you read Abraham Heschel's daughter has a book, Susanna Heschel, called The Aryan Jesus, where she goes through all of this frightening stuff, okay? And so, anyway, Herod is going to search for the child to destroy him. Joseph rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt. You see? He stayed there until the death of Herod, that what the Lord had said through the prophet might be fulfilled. "Out of Egypt I called my son." Now, you've got to look at, you see, now, Jesus is all Israel. He is the son Israel, because that text, and if you're using a Jerusalem Bible, even the NAB would have footnotes. That text is Hosea 11. And Matthew is saying, yes, Jesus is recapitulating the whole history of Israel. As this Israel, the son, is called out of Egypt, so Jesus, the Son, in a sublime, super way, you see, is the Son. You see, he stayed there until the death of Herod. "Out of Egypt I called my son." Now, they skip a whole bunch of verses about the holy innocents because they want to concentrate on the family. I'm going to say a few words about them anyway, because we won't be, you might not even hear this until after the Feast of the Holy Innocents, but it's up to you. But anyway, there were at most, you know, a few thousand people in Bethlehem at this time. So the number of boy infants under 2 years old, a dozen, 14, max 30. So Herod killed them. While it isn't in the history books, most of the atrocities of Herod are not in the history books. This man killed most of his family in a paranoid frenzy because he thought they were going to take over his kingdom. He was a nut, and he killed anybody he was afraid could take over, including his wives, his children. And so, was it to kill a dozen or more little infants who might be, because he's superstitious, he doesn't believe, you know, that that's going to happen. And so he rose, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel, because the word came from the angel, rise, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel. For those who sought the child's life are dead. For those who sought your life are dead. You know, from the Moses story. And so, what is he doing? Why do we take this gospel for this Feast of the Holy Family? Because it shows us Joseph being led by God to take care of his family. And that's the proper order. It isn't that the wife has nothing to say. Most of the good ideas come from the wife. But the father must take care of his family, and he can only do that if he's praying. One of the Sundays, maybe I'll do a talk on it here so you can use it. It'll be an extra talk, kind of. The four parts of prayer. You know, I did this in the parish, and I went through the four parts, just like the four parts of the Mass. Huh? Repent, hear the word, praise, intercede. The four parts of the... So you can't forget it when you go to pray. What am I going to do now? Well, you do that. Well, I had a sheet, and I brought over about 50 or 60, and I said to somebody, if anybody wants one, give them out. They were gone in the first wave of people out of church. So I ran home. I only live across the street, got a whole bunch more, and they were gone. The people were that hungry to have some concrete direction and not just pray every day. What do I do when I pray? What does that mean? And so maybe I'll do that one of these days. Even if it doesn't take the full hour, just put it out as a help. Because I was amazed to see. And people still mention that. I'm praying the way you told me, Father. Wow. So there's something going on in that family, right? So fathers should be urged to seek guidance from the Lord and so serve their family. Like my friend Jim. He took that word of the Lord. He bought the drums. He won over one of his daughters, who is a mother herself, maybe even a grandmother by now, and is a great family. And so you see, that's what we have to do. So this text is taken, you see, for that reason. So he gets back there, and when he heard that Archelaus was ruling over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go back there. This Herod is a nut. And because he had been warned in a dream, again, notice. Now, our guys might not have dreams. They could. But the Lord will guide them. I wish I could think of another example. You know, I'm thinking of a girl who was dating a guy. And when this happens, the girl is wonderful, holy little girl. She's dating this jerk, you know, young kid, sexually profligate, drinks, you know, and they're all in college. Now, how do you get her out of that? Well, I was talking to a girl and I said, look, you suffer from the stray cat syndrome. You've picked up a stray cat and you're going to take care of him. You marry him, your life is going to be hell. Remember the stray cat syndrome. And she did, and they broke up. And She's living happily ever after. I don't know what happened to him. But you've got to tell kids, you know, and then say, go ask the Lord what he wants. Ask the Lord if he thinks I'm right when I talk about the stray cat syndrome. You know, you're picking up this little pussy cat, you're going to bring it home, feed it milk, take care of it, you know, and feel good about yourself. You can't do that. So then he went and dwelt in a town called Nazareth, so that what had been spoken through the prophet, he shall be called a Nazarene. Now that Nazarene is not, he's playing with the word, Netzer. That's somebody who took a Nazarite vow. You know, he's totally committed to the Lord. And that's what it means. And he's totally committed to the Lord. And that's Jesus. See, the he there, you see, he shall be called a Nazarene. Well, that Nazarene is Jesus. And he will be a holy man. Now, it's very important to realize that God provided for his incarnate son by a normal family. Mary was conceived immaculately. So that meant all the influence that a mother should have on her son, she can have, because it'll all be pure. There'll be no anger, no insecurity, no self-seeking. It'll be pure. So all his basic images in life all come from a totally immaculate mother and a father who is a great, upright man who knows how to love his family and take care of him. And that's what Jesus grows up in. And that helps him in his human nature to have that confidence in the Father. See, into your hands I commend my spirit. You know? And the suffering. Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. You know? But Father. And when you pray, say, Our Father. Or, as Luke has it, when you pray, say, Abba. He's telling us to pray exactly the way he prays. And that will be in our, for the next week's reading, where you'll find that God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, you see, that we might receive the Holy Spirit and cry, Abba, Father, which means to share Jesus' divine affection for the Father. Now, the image of that, or in one of Louis Bouillet's books, The Shadow of the Father, Joseph showed Jesus as he was growing up what it means to be a man. I mean, what a terrific education, right? What it means to be a man. Tell the priests, tell the men on when this Sunday comes, your job is to show your sons what it means to be a man. That means truthful and firm. That's a man. And that means, of course, if he's firm in compassion, not firm in anger. So that's the Feast of the Holy Family. It's a wonderful feast and put in by the Church to save our Catholic families from the devastation of the culture.